of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O my God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love thee, and I beg pardon for those who do not believe, do not adore, do not hope, and do not love thee. Welcome to Alive. This is Claire here, and thank you for joining me. Now, I just want to mention the last time we had Father Clovis in the studio, of course, my adorable co-host Gary and I interviewed Father, and so I just wanted to mention Gary because I certainly miss him so much. And Father, you were out of the country sadly when Gary died, so I just like to every month at least, to if you have some prayers or you want to offer up a mass for Gary, I'm sure he'd be very grateful. Now, if you've been listening over the last 6 weeks or so, we've been talking about the wonderful apparition of Our Lady of Revelation of Tre Fontane. And Father finished last week explaining about Luigina Sinapi, who had a lady appear to her exactly 10 years before she appeared to Bruno. So, Father, can you tell us about Luigina, please?
I'm sure. Yes. Exactly 10 years, 12th of April, 1937. Luigina had arranged to have a pilgrimage for her parish group to Tre Fontane, and this was to the abbey, the place where St. Paul had been decapitated. And it's called Tre Fontane because, according to the tradition, the head of the apostle bounced three times, and each place that it bounced, a spring appeared. Anyway, walking through the eucalyptus wood, she came across her mates of the boated child, which she reverently buried, and as she did so, Our Lady appeared to her and said to her, "I will return to this place because I need the assistance of a man who persecutes the church and wants to kill the Pope." So she said, "Go to St. Peter's and you will meet a lady dressed in black." And of course, everybody dressed, all ladies dressed in black. She said, "Yes, you meet the lady dressed in black, who will take you to meet her brother, who is a cardinal. You will transmit what I have just told you to him, and in addition, tell him that he will soon pope." So Luigina went to St. Peter's Basilica, and lo and behold, she met a woman dressed in black, Elizabeth Bacelli, exactly as Our Lady had foretold. Elizabeth introduced Luigina to her brother, Cardinal Eugenio, and delivered the Virgin's message. He listened with a certain detachment, and that I can certainly believe Eugenio Bacelli, and responded, "If there are roses, they will bloom." Well, within 2 years, on the 2nd of March 1939, Cardinal Bacelli ascended the papal throne as Pope Pius XII. So that prophecy was fulfilled, and no doubt the Pope remembered it. Bruno would in fact meet Pope Pius XII on the 9th of December 1949, and at that meeting Bruno presented the dagger on which he had written "Death to the Pope," and with which he planned to kill the Pope. And as I told you a few weeks back, it was in fact a baronet which the Pope had given to Archbishop Montini, his subsecretary to the Secretary of State, and Archbishop left it in the Secretary of State where it was discovered in the drawer. So the Pope, of course, was well disposed towards the miracle, the apparition of Our Lady at Tre Fontane, since Luigina had told him that Our Lady would come back and would meet a man who intended to kill him. Anyway, the devotion to Our Lady of Revelation, Tre Fontane, grew and became well known in Rome. And then it took a new turn 33 years later, on the 12th of April 1980, when there were some 3,000 people, including a good number of priests, They gathered at Tre Fontane for Mass, and to her, Bruno recount again the first apparition that he had there. And suddenly, the Mass was interrupted because, as people said, the sun seemed to move through the skies towards the grotto and began to approach the earth. It could be seen, it could be looked at with absolute ease as a ball of fire rotating wildly without hurting the eyes. And there were brilliant, diverse colors emanating from it. The various people were given a sword, different things, such as the sun incandescent, and it was boiling and it was foaming and had various figurations. Some eyewitnesses said they saw a cross in it, others an M, others hearts surrounded by stars, some saw the dripping blood, the monogram, IHS, and so on. But what is interesting that all of these symbols that were seen would imply the necessity for these various devotions. Because as I'm sure many Catholics of my age, so certainly over 60, would know, the Mass of Ages, the Mass we had before the Council, had many devotions flowing out of it. It was like a huge spring, or like a garden. So whilst we certainly had the Mass as central, there were so many devotions which were supportive of it, or flowed from it, or sprung from it. And sadly, of course, were pruned after the Council. And so with the new Mass, we don't have this. So Catholics before the Council went to Mass, certainly, and that was central and foundational, but they also had other devotions which sprang and which they followed, you know, Vespers being one example, you know, the Rosary, of course, and the Novenas, and so on. After the Council, those just disappeared, and we just have the Mass, and it seems that it's somewhat dry in comparison. Anyway, all of these devotions were presented at Tre Fontane, but other things were that the various colors, colors of the rainbow, which reflected on the people, so their faces and their clothing took on the hue of these colors. Again, something that happened at Fatima. And what was interesting again is that many lapsed Catholics subsequently returned to the faith. And the medical center, in fact, was set up to investigate, and many of the people were cured. It was said that the cures were beyond scientific explanation. So that was 1980, and then the same thing occurred in the years during the 1980s, so 82, 85, 86, 87, 88, and 89. And in all of those cases, people were looking directly at the sun without any damage to their eyes. And interestingly, there were increasing number of priests who testified to this. Before, it was lay people who were the eyewitnesses, but now they were clergy. And I think this was very important.
Now, Father, just Our Lady spoke to Bruno for an hour, and then subsequently she appeared to him, or he had dreams and prophecies at about 60. So what is the message of Our Lady of Revelation, like the broken cross, the black cast? What does she say?
It was a warning regarding the clergy that they were not, we're not being faithful to our vocation, that we were throwing away the symbols of our vocation, and it was a case of throwing the baby out of the bathwater. She warned against the lack of prayer, the casualness of the clergy, our relationships with lay people, and the slackness with which the Mass, the liturgy, was celebrated, the lack of devotion, the lack of purity as well. You know, and when we consider this is in the 80s, this is really the beginning, well, I guess not the beginning, but with the beginning of the revelations of the corruption within the clergy, which of course was not given the, was not addressed as it ought to have been.
And so Bruno had a lot of really horrible dreams, which he sometimes said he didn't want to go to sleep at night because, you know, they were just horrific.
Yeah.
So what were some of these dreams that he had?
Most of them were demonic, because the, as with Fatima, the and this month, July, this July, you know, Our Lady, when she appeared at Fatima, showed that she gave the children a vision of hell, and that was the reason for her coming, to save, to remind us that hell does exist, and to save us by giving us the graces, the warning and the graces that we avoid that place. At Tre Fontane is exactly the same. In fact, all the apparitions, they already comes to tell us to repent, to believe the gospel, to live according to our baptismal vocation, and failure to do this will be effectively our rejection of God and consequent eternal damnation. You know, it's actually is very difficult to even speak about hell and eternal damnation today, because people just can't comprehend what that means.
I know that in 1946, I think it was, Pope Pius XII said that the greatest sin today was that man was losing the sense of sin. And that was the year before Our Lady appeared.
Yes. And it's the same message was repeated by John Paul on many occasions, and also by Pope Benedict, you know, that, in fact, towards the end of his life, Paul VI also lamented the same, that we have lost our sense of sin. And why? I think it's affluence that has caused that. You know, the in the Old Testament story of Job, who had everything, you know, the devil asked God's permission, because he can do nothing against us without divine permission, to let him test Job, and he tested Job by taking away all that Job had, you know, his family, his property, his servants, his animals, and all he Job was left with was Mrs. Job, you know, and she was more cross to him than anything else. And when that failed, all, because Job said, you know, if God has given, God has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. You know, the devil and our Lord, and God points that out to Satan. Satan says, yes, but you haven't touched him, you know. If you touch his skin, you know, he'll curse you. And the Lord says, okay, everything except his life. And Job ends up with this dreadful disease. And his wife says, you know, why don't you just curse God and die? He says, no, you speak foolishly. If we receive good things from the Lord, why shouldn't we receive evil as well? Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so the devil learned a lesson, that to take away the gifts of God from a good man is only going to cause him to cling even more firmly to God. And C.S. Lewis brings up the same point in Screwtape Letters. And so his tactic now is to give us everything, you know, to make us so wealthy that we forget, or at least we think we're wealthy. In the book of Revelation, in the book of the Apocalypse, it says, you know, I know you think you have everything, but in fact, you're well clothed, you're naked.
Mm.
You know, it's, but given us everything, we tend to be forgotten God, you know, and we become less dependent on him and independent, and then we just dismiss him.
Okay, Father, we'll continue this in a minute, but it's 3 o'clock. It's time for Divine Mercy. So, Father, would you like to lead us with this prayer?
I believe in God,
Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth,
and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Eternal Father, you, the body and blood, soul and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, an atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion,
have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Holy God, Holy Mighty One, Holy Immortal One, have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. All right, Father, now our lady told Bruno that there is going to be another war. So can you tell us a little bit about that? What did she say?
I think you caught me in the hop this time.
Okay. Well, just...
I know there were many prophecies that she made to him. And what is certain is that they all tie in together. So... Akita, of course, which is certainly in our time, also spoke of this other war, which is to come, and you know we have been literally standing on the brink, and it's we don't know when or how and which direction it will come.
Well, she spoke about peoples from the east that would sweep down over Europe. And she said that, Bruno, in his dreams and prophecies, that people would be, Catholics would be in churches and they would set the churches alight and people would be slaughtered. I mean, it was absolutely horrific. Bruno, as I said, sometimes didn't want to go to sleep because it was so horrible. And she even spoke about nuclear war. So, like Akita, fire from the sky.
Yes. It's interesting because I remember being able to go to St. Peter's, freely. You can go there anytime as long as the basilica is open, and it is open early in the morning for the 7 o'clock masses, and it would stay open right until evening, about 7, And now it's almost impossible to get into the basilica. The security is like airport security, and you see thousands of people forming a queue, a line, trying to get in, and all backpacks are checked, and bags, everything. Mm. So the fact there has been threats made against St. Peter's.
And the, of course, the beautiful statue, Pieta.
Yes.
Smash with a hammer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But even so, we know from the Fatima, the prophecy that was the secret that was revealed in the year 2000, with their talk of the half-ruined city. Mm. You know.
And so, Father, what does that mean?
For me, the half-ruined city, literally, I think, because that's the one that really makes sense, since the focus of Fatima was on the Pope in Rome. But I think spiritually, it would imply the church itself, which is half-ruined, as we well know. We do have a case where the Pope, John Paul and Benedict were literally dragging themselves through trying to rally the faithful together.
And St. Pope John Paul II, his talk, the church and the anti-church, Christ and the Antichrist, the gospel and the anti-gospel. Yes, Father, can you just explain a little bit about the background of that talk?
Yes. That was in 1976. It was the 200th anniversary of the founding of the United States, and he was Archbishop of Krakow, and he'd been invited by the Poles to, I think it was Philadelphia. And this is where he gave that famous speech in which he talked. He says, the majority of mankind don't realize that we are standing on the brink, where we have the church and the anti-church, the gospel and the anti-gospel, the Christ and the antichrist, and that it was really too late, which is interesting, that all we could do is alleviate or ameliorate the punishment, but the punishment was on its way.
Like we could mitigate it, but we couldn't prevent it.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the question is, why couldn't we prevent it? Perhaps because the consecration, of course, had not been done.
And so what was the punishment on the way?
Well, it would be, the punishment would be loss of faith. Because, again, I believe he was the one who said that the loss of faith was worse than any other physical disaster that can overtake us. And if we think about it, that certainly is true, because we are only here 70 years, 80 for those who are strong. if we live to be 120, we have to leave this valley of tears. We have to go into eternity, and we're going to be in eternity forever. So the condition in which we live, on which we leave this world, is determines our eternity. And that's why one of my personal devotions is I pray for the people who will die each day. When I say Mass, I make a deliberate intention offering for the people who will die this day. And none of us knows when our day will be. We leave home, we have no guarantee we will return.
Absolutely.
We go to sleep and no guarantee we will wake up.
Well, I can certainly vouch for that. My husband went off to work. Next morning, I was a widow. So, who knows what's going to happen from one day to the next. Father, thank you so much. We are so blessed to have had your knowledge. And I hope you're going to come back again.